It's Ramadan, a time of reflection and renewal in all aspects of life. And though it might seem like quite the juxtaposition, the themes of reflection and renewal are not lost on technology, especially in an age of artificial intelligence. By now, you're probably well aware that AI is testing our relationship with technology like never before. It's offering endless possibilities, but it's also creating ample concern, often overshadowing the possibilities. I'm Cody Combs, host of Business Extra. Thanks for joining us for this special Ramadan edition. For this episode, we're taking a look at the many upsides offered by AI and how those upsides offer an opportunity for renewal and reflection on multiple levels. For healthcare, education, sustainability, and energy, those closest to AI say it can ratchet up solutions. For this podcast, we had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Mohammed Alagani, Senior Advisor to the President of the Mohammed Bin Zayed University of Artificial Intelligence. Dr. Alagani, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I would say thank you very much for dedicating the time to explore such an important topic with me today. I'm very excited to delve into the ways in which artificial intelligence is really driving positive change for sustainability and societal well-being.
So first off, MBZ UAI, for our listeners who might not be aware, founded back before AI was on the tip of every tongue back in 2019. And even back then, there was more to this whole AI thing than just technology for technology's sake. Can, in fact, it provide solutions to societal woes, in your opinion?
Yes. For instance, maybe I can give the audience some examples here about the initiative that the university has been embarking on developing such sustainable solutions. For instance, the AIS, I don't know if you heard about it. This is one of the projects that's been emerging at the university, and there has been a dedicated team to work on such system. It is actually artificial intelligence operating system. So what does this system really do? It aims to reduce the energy consumptions and reduce the carbon footprint and also the cost of creating and deploying AI models and applications. There is also another example I can give about the AI smart grids. So we had a team who have been working on AI solutions for specifically for the smart energy grids. So this smart grid aims to optimize energy use and local energy sharing by applying one of the cutting edge techniques called the federated learning, FL. So what does this technique do? So it trains a machine learning model. It allows it to learn more about the energy usage habits or the patterns over millions of users without compromising anyone's data, privacy, for instance. So this enables the energy providers to massively increase the efficiency and reliability of energy distributions, which is again very vital as renewable energy from many sources enters the grid. I will also give another example of another initiative, which is the analyzation of urban heat islands. So the university had a partnership with the well-known technology providers such as IBM that have been working on AI-enabled solutions to detect urban heat islands areas within the cities and metropolitan areas that experience significantly higher temperature surrounding the rural and natural environments. By detecting and analyzing these areas, the solution will help the city planners or the municipalities, for instance, as well as the residents to mitigate the worst effects of the heat islands by making the cities more liable and unpredictable weather patterns.
What can AI do, in your opinion, and in the various studies at MBZ UAI, what can AI do for healthcare, medicine, things along those lines?
That's another critical vector which the university have focused on, which is the healthcare. So we've been working on AI-powered techniques to tackle malaria through accurate atmospheric modeling by using the robust sensing or the sensors from multiple data sources, and also to spot the AI-driven diagnosis and treatment recommendations. Also, there is the remote patient monitoring platform. So this platform holds promise, I would say, as enabler of smart health solutions for the countries facing the twin challenge of aging population, for instance, and shortage of the healthcare professional, to provide the remote care to the elderly and patients living on their own.
We're into the second week of Ramadan, and it's also a reflection of community. What ways do you see MBZUAI working with the community and the kind of paying it forward in terms of helping out students through various programs so they're ahead of the curve on this AI revolution?
In terms of the education, so we provide access to education. So education remains as a major challenge in many parts of the world. So the United Nations estimating that around 60 million of children lack place at school. So the university is conducting research on the AI-enabled metaverse virtual teleportation solution that could really help to expand education by giving the children in remote areas the ability to attend school virtually, for instance. So the same technology could be really used for virtual meetings, helping the business curb their carbon emissions by reducing the number of flights they really take. And also, this is a great opportunity to reduce the number of visitations, to help in terms of the efficiency, and also to provide education for all.
So, you recently wrote an opinion piece for us where you spoke about some misunderstandings about AI systems and how those misunderstandings are causing some panic. Can you talk a little bit about that? What are some of those misunderstandings about AI, in your opinion?
When we are implementing such cutting-edge technologies, of course, it brings opportunities, and with opportunities comes threats. And with the threats, we have to counter these threats by mitigating them, to address them by providing some of the mitigations. Though there's a mitigation, we try to address the issues pertinent to the privacy and how the data is being used and who is using the data. For instance, I can give you an example of using one of the digital AI-based solutions like the education system, for instance. Usually they deal with a lot of vendors when it comes to implementing such systems. So they have to consider a number of instruments, including the policies, the regulations, the considerations of applying all the controls, security controls in place to make sure that the data does not go out, for instance, if it's actually a system that's been implemented on-prem, not on cloud. Although mostly of these education sectors now moving to the clouds, so that reduced the cyber security attacks and all that. But again, we try by producing and establishing such ethical standards, policies, and regulation to make use of them and make them available for all the sectors, not only in the education, but all the sectors, to make sure, yes, these are the standards, policies. You guys need to really follow them, make use out of them, and ensure those security controls in place before we really face those threats. And the threats, when they really happen, it become very vital for us to act promptly. And that's the way how we work with the academics and the research community to work together in collaborations on different domains to counter such threats when it comes to education.
Something else you wrote about in that opinion piece for us, you said, is it appropriate to compare artificial intelligence with human intelligence? Can you expand on that?
Yeah. So when it comes to intelligence, we have to distinguish the chain of intelligence. Usually the intelligence comes from human brains, from the human. The machine learns from data and try to mimic the normal patterns of how the human really think in terms of the logic, in terms of the reasoning, all that. So all of that really translated into the machine's language. I would say the machine will never ever come to a place where it conquers the intelligence of the human itself. But again, it learns from the data. When it comes to AI systems being put in a place, so that system really need to really learn over the time. So the human really teach that system to be able to understand and to deal with different scenarios. So for example, it's like teaching a small kid over, and then the maturity level will really increase and enhance that as you really feed more data. And the thing when it comes to the intelligence, again, you try to measure the intelligence by giving it more data and then try to see the response or the outcomes that comes from the computations of the algorithm that really been embedded within that system. So once you run that system at large scale, for instance, you really see the results, does it really match with the accuracy, and what is going to be the accuracy levels of that response? Does it go beyond, for instance, the 60 patients? Is it higher than, for instance, 70% or 80% or 90%? Why I'm saying this? Because we try to mimic the same way how the human brain really work. And since the inception of the term itself back in the 50s, again, the idea was actually to mimic the human behavior, reasoning, logical sensing, and all that. I see the AI now is really improving, and it really keeps evolving as we really get to work with a lot of cutting edge techniques and more advanced solutions really coming up very soon as well.
Is it safe to say that you consider yourself an AI optimist? There's a lot of obviously concern out there from skeptics and concern from non-skeptics about AI replacing people or causing unemployment. Why are you so optimistic?
Well, I'm optimistic, and I wouldn't say pessimistic. Why? Because and every technology, and I have witnessed this myself, you know, over the past 15 years, when I've seen the change even happening here in the UAE, in particular, the evolution of the technology started back then. So we started like witnessing the evolution of the online presence, and then the smart government, the intelligent government, the systems in a place. This evolution really has spanned a lot over the time. And I've seen the benefits, because when you speak about the advantages, it really helps a lot in terms of impacting your community. And every technology has two parts. Either you're going to make use of it for the benefit of yourself or the community, or you're going to use it the wrong way. Now, once it has been used the wrong way, again, there has to be some counterparts for it, right? So there has to be some systems in place. There has to be some controls to really prevent any threats that could really impact negatively on the corporate, for instance, if it is like a corporate or a company that try to really maintain its data. Optimistic, why? Because I've seen it really helping a lot of the communities around the world. Now, we've seen the benefits which really helped the community here in the UAE. And I can give you an example even that to one of the study that revealed more than 57% of the usage of the LLM found that nationals were using it at schools and the universities as well. So this gives you a lot of consideration that such technology like the GPT, which is spreading widely across the world, is helping the community. Now, of course, every technology brings some threats as well, unless we really try to address it at the early stage. Otherwise, we will not be able to really control it. So controlling such technologies involves and includes some establishment of the standards, for instance, to really control the way how these technologies are going to be heavily used and widely spreaded, to make sure there is a governance in a place to govern the usage of such technologies, to maintain the data privacy, confidentiality, availability of the data when using these systems. So I would say I'm very optimistic for such technologies being used widely.
There is a video clip out there from 1985 that's recently resurfaced on social media where Steve Jobs is talking about the future, and he says that computers might someday have the ability to contain all the knowledge possessed by someone like Aristotle, and that computers might make it possible for mere mortals such as you and myself to ask Aristotle a question about anything.
And so my hope is someday, when the next Aristotle is alive, we can capture the underlying worldview of that Aristotle in a computer. And someday, some student will be able to not only read the words Aristotle wrote, but ask Aristotle a question.
This was way back in 1985, and everybody sort of laughs at him. But do you think we're close to having that sort of a moment where we can, you know, ask these philosophers, these major world leaders that have since passed on, questions through AI?
It's again, this is something I would say might really happen in the future. Why it might really happen in the future? Because you see the evolution is really rapidly happening. It is growing massively huge. And we are relying on the data for building such systems. And I wouldn't really say that it will never happen. It might really happen. But again, when these things really are probable to really happen, what should we really do against them? Should we act promptly? And how the way we're really going to act against such things, right? Because you're speaking about the impact it might really cause. Is it going to really harm the communities? Is it going to benefit the communities? How are we going to control them, right? To control them through establishing such world-class global instruments to really guide or govern the process, how these systems will try to collect, process, and output the outcomes from these systems. So there has been a lot of work being done on this area.
So because we are in a time of reflection and renewal amid Ramadan, is there anything that I'm not asking that you want people to know about this topic?
Yes. So in order to really succeed, we have to really digest and embrace such technologies, because at the end of the day, it is really up to us to make use of them. And AI is creating a lot of changes in our communities. And maybe you have seen it yourself. Maybe, Cody, in your daily basis, for instance, you write a letter, for instance, you send an email. It doesn't take you less than even seconds to really draft one email quickly, send it across instead of just spending 5 or 10 minutes. Linking that to the business operation, to the educations, how that would really help that to enhance the way how we really operate in our daily lives. It helps a lot. But again, as I mentioned earlier on, we have to make sure that these systems have to be governed and they have to follow these standards, which have been well established. As the AI systems really evolve, we have to make sure that we counter the threats that will really rise by producing more and more evolving, resilient, efficient policies, try to govern the way how these systems really operate. And as we witness the days of Ramadan, and we're left with very few days out of it, again, the university has been engaging with a lot of events to provide such, I would say, awareness sessions, engagement, collaboration with these corporations to ensure the awareness and the orientation of the AI will convey to the community. And we really encourage everyone to participate and be part of our events, especially during the month of Ramadan, to benefit from such awareness sessions. It will really be very helpful for them to really get to know more about the AI and the recent advancements when it comes to such technology.
That's it for this episode of Business Extra. Thanks so much for listening. Please remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasting content so you can receive all of our episodes as soon as they come out. This episode was produced by Doa Farid and Arthur Edison. I'm your host, Cody Combs.